Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the I fucked up. That was a good start, Mike. Thinking of Extra Life.
Make sure you start the timer again if you're editing this out.
Nah, I'm not going to edit this out, fuck it. Be alright. Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the 30 Minute Gamers Show. And what I meant to say is I'm joined by my fellow Extra Lifer, as always, Mike Luckett.
Hello.
Hi.
Hiya.
So, a few of you are wondering what's going on. We should have had an episode out by now, so we're going to do a live episode. The truth is, Mike, everyone was pretty dead after Extra Life.
We were fucked.
And we couldn't muster recording a live show. So here we are instead. We're going back to our usual two-topic format. Luckily, one of which the topics is Extra Life. So, Mike, how does it feel for the second year running to be a 24-hour gamer?
Awesome.
Okay, so let's get down to the important stuff first. A big thank you to everybody who donated to us. We absolutely smashed our target out of the park.
We did.
We made 500 and something last year. We aimed for 600 this year. And Mike, do you know what the total is at now?
It's $820-ish dollars, isn't it?
Yeah. Just fucking amazing.
Awesome.
Part of me wants to say, like, people keep sponsoring us. If we make 1,000, we'll do it again or something. Just because it would be awesome to break that 1,000 barrier, but then also Summit to aim for next year.
It is.
So, Mike, how do you feel our Extra Life gaming extravaganza went?
I think it went very well. We all did it. That's the main thing.
Yep.
I definitely found it harder than last year, though. But I don't know if that was maybe a little bit of complacency setting in. Think, oh, I've done it once, can do it again, or... I don't know, but we did it.
I don't know. We haven't even got the excuse that we played Wii Sports and wore ourselves out because we forgot to play.
We were singing on Beatles Rock Band, though. That was quite hardcore.
Yeah. The videos of which are currently sat on Rez's camera waiting to be edited.
Yes. Oh, God.
I did speak to him earlier and he said he was going to edit them, so we've got that little treat to look forward to. Oh, jeez. So we played a lot of games, Mike. What was the best game you played? Or what did you enjoy playing the most? Highlights.
Gears of War 3 online.
Yeah.
No, it was good to start God of War 3, actually. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm quite way behind the times with that. So we got started on that. That was ace.
Yeah.
Good to play the Sonics again. I always love a bit of retro Sonic goodness.
Even though you suck at 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's really hard.
No, I did. I'm normally good at them. I think what it is because 1 and 2 are more platformy than the rest and less forgiving. And obviously, because we just started, we were all chatting loads, so I don't think I was properly concentrating. That's my excuse anyway.
Okay. I enjoyed playing some Uncharted 3 multiplayer at Rez, the self-proclaimed expert pro win of Uncharted 3. Whilst we're talking of Rez, he easily gets the award for best moment of the event when he bounded into the room all excited and nearly knocked your TV clean off the top. I mean, he'd barely been there 10 seconds. He just bounded into the room, like, had all posters up and stuff, and he was so fucking happy.
It's like
a kid in a toy shop.
Yes, he was.
It was so good. The best game I probably played was Enslaved, and oddly enough, I got really pissed off with it at a point because I kept dying at the same point.
Yeah.
And it was definitely down to tiredness because on whatever day it was, Thursday, I sat back down on the game and finished it. And I was over halfway through. I could have probably, if I had stuck at it, I would have completed Enslaved on the night, but no, didn't.
Terrible.
Because I got pissed off dying at this one point because of the tiredness.
Yeah, it did get to a point. I think God of War 3 was the last game I played, and I did keep dying at the same part. I think it was just literally been awake for too long. It was just finding it hard to concentrate. Kept standing up to keep myself going.
It does start to feel like a slog at a point, doesn't it? About 2 o'clock in the evening, in the night for me, morning, whatever, that was when it started to kick in, and it's like, Jesus, this is a fucking slog.
Yeah, and that's when I had my first can of Relentless, which worked, but then when I started to drift again, and I had my second can, it felt like the second can did fuck all. It was like a downward slope.
I had the weird thing, I wasn't drinking Relentless, I was drinking that other one. I don't know, Monster and then some other fizzy shit. But I remember drinking one of them, and it just felt like it was burning my throat and my stomach. It was fucking horrendous. Oh, I hated it.
The pictures on Facebook are funny, though. I like them. Yeah.
There are a lot of good pictures on Facebook.
The videos are going to be even better.
Yeah. We all ended. We all managed to stay awake. It was a struggle. We were all knackered. Everyone went to bed, Mike, and left me awake because I couldn't fucking get to sleep because I was buzzing off all the caffeine. So I ended up sitting and watching a few other feeds of people doing it, and then eventually must have fallen asleep watching that because I woke up with my laptop pretty much on my face, headphones on. Laptop was switched off because the battery had died. So that was my post-experience. My other question was to you, how did you find the camaraderie? Do you think we all stuck it to the end together?
We did.
Because obviously this year was a bit of a shift, because last year we only had 3 people doing it. This year we had 5, some people we haven't met before. Mm-hmm. So do you still think we had the same feel-good factor that we had the year before?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was a fun, joyous occasion. Just at the end, you're fucking exhausted.
Yeah, no, of course. We all had the drive home afterwards. Well, except you, obviously. But
I don't know how you did it. I felt like I was hungover. It felt like the worst hungover ever. Like, it was a struggle, and like, to stay awake or whatever.
I know. Well, obviously, it took me about 2 hours to get home, but about an hour in, I felt like I was nodding off on the M62, which isn't good. So I drunk another can of Relentless, and that did seem to perk me up a bit as I was getting into Manchester.
And then old Rez went to a bloody theme park because he said he's never been up this way before, and there was a theme park round here, which I thought was shit because we used to go on school trips. It's got the 3rd longest roller coaster in Europe. So he went there, but I don't know how he managed it because my body was on shutdown. I couldn't have hacked riding around on a roller coaster.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I got home with all my stuff, it was just like, I can't be arsed unpacking this. I can't be arsed playing a game. I can't be arsed. I'm just going to sit here.
I could barely be asked to tidy up after everyone left, but I managed it. And then cooked the biggest plate of noodles you have ever fucking seen.
Sweet.
It was immense. And I ate it like I was hungover. Which probably means I didn't drink enough water. That's my big tip to anyone doing it. Drink water.
Yeah, I was just drinking. I drank 2 of them big bottles of Pepsi.
Me too. And then all that fucking
Domino's pizza would have helped dehydrate even more.
Yeah, and then I was eating shrimp crackers. They helped dehydrate me even more.
The Monster Munch, Haribo, that bag of various sweets and chocolate.
The amount of food you eat is disgusting. Because what are you doing that requires you to eat that much food? Like, I ate an entire box of fucking mini Scotch eggs. And what am I doing that's justifying me taking on that many calories? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Brain thinking and the fingers moving.
Yeah, somehow in my head, I was like, yep, this is justified. I can eat 24 mini Scotch eggs. No problems. I went down a treat. If anyone ever, that's a good tip. Asda's mini chicken Kiev Scotch eggs. Fucking beautiful.
That was good as well. Our trip to Asda. That was funny. All 5 of us.
Yeah.
We just met, all piled in my car, off to Asda. We walked in, security probably looked at us funny. You know, it was like probably 11:30 at night, midnight, something like that.
We're all there just chucking food into baskets. Like, I was literally like sliding boxes of noodles into my bag. It probably did look a bit strange.
Probably
and that's just a nightmare at night when they're all filling up and stuff and we're just all tramping around.
Yeah, and that guy that guy helped me out in the self scanner when my thing was it. Item, what was it? Something to do with something in the bagging area anyway, and the old man come over, a little miserable so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're listening, old Asda worker man in Asda Harrogate, cheer up.
I doubt he's... But yeah. Maybe I'll go play this to him. Little dictaphone and go, here.
And then run away.
Cheer up. My only other question to you, Mike, was there any games you saw that you'd not considered playing before that you would now play?
Rage. I think
that's the one for me.
Because I kept glancing over at Luke's TV and it looked ace. It just reminded me of Borderlands loads every time I looked.
Yeah. Borderlands, and it's got a few more things to make it a little bit different. Like, it's got races and stuff, you can drive in the car. It's got a card game in it, like tradable card game you can play. It looks really good. So I've been trying to, I've been on the lookout for cheap prices. It's definitely one I'm going to pick up once all this gaming madness is over.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what. Phil was rocking a bit of Arkham Asylum, ready for Arkham City.
He was.
Playing it on hard. I played Saints Row 2, which is a bit of a weird game. Takes all, definitely has taken up that mantle of the wackiness that GTA's now lost. Now it's decided to go all serious.
Yeah.
Worth a try, worth a look. And Split Second as well. Fucking awesome game.
Oh yeah, that did look good. I mean, I consider getting it at some point, but I got Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I'd say buy it pre-owned because Disney are fucking dickheads and shut down BlackRock Studios that developed it, so I don't want them to get any more money. I mean, I bought it new. That doesn't mean people out there have to buy it new.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Go buy it used and don't give Disney money, seeing as they shut down BlackRock, who are now back around as some other developer, but still, don't give Disney your money. Just the final thing before we move on to our next subject, Mike, is people can still donate till the end of the year. We'll bob our donation page in with the show stuff, so if people still want to donate, please do. Pictures are up on Facebook if you want proof. That's it.
Awesome.
So, Mike, for our second topic today, I wanted to talk to you. This time next year at Extra Life, you could be playing games on a new system. Do you know what that new system is?
The PlayStation Vita. Not the Vito.
Not the Vito or the Vita. The Vita. So it's finally been announced, Mike, when it's due out in the rest of the world other than Japan. The 22nd of February, which is very exciting. They've come out and said the recommended retail prices. So for the Wi-Fi only model, you're looking at $229.99. And for the 3G model, you're looking at $279.99. So a difference of £50 to have all the 3G gubbins in there. 3G, they've come out and said it's limited. It's not going to offer you online play. It's mostly for the social aspect of things. So for me, personally, doesn't warrant that extra £50 investment, really. Plus the cost of the data you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see the point. Because there's that many Wi-Fi hotspots and stuff around now. If you really want to do... Like, it's got its own version of the Street Pass called Near. If you really want to do that, you can bob into Starbucks and use their Wi-Fi or whatever, or McDonald's, the local bank, all such like. They didn't come out and say what games are going to be launched, but I do have a list of the titles that are going to launch in Japan, if you want me to read them out for you, Mike.
Go on then, Adam.
There's 26 titles in all. All of which are going to be available to both buy on their new proprietary cartridges, but also to download on the PSN store. And they've come out and said that the games are going to work out, in America at least, going to be about $10 cheaper if you get buy the game digitally, which is a problem PSN has at the minute. For anybody that knows, you can go and buy Deus Ex Human Revolution for the bargain of $57.99.
Awesome!
Which is an absolute fucking rip-off. But yeah, that's been an issue with PSN that they're going to resolve. So the title of games is Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extend, Project Knowles, 3 Goku Shu Touch Battle, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Nature of the Night of Katamachi, F1 2011, Dream Sea Club Zero Portable, Knock on Cine, Fishio, Katamari Damacy, Ridge Racer, Disgaea 3 Return, Virtual Tennis 4, Apt Field, Uncharted Golden Abyss, or whatever it's called, Little Deviants, Minata Issue, Hot Shots Golf Next, Ushu no Kukuni, Monster Radar, Shinobido 2, Tales of the Ninja, Army Corps of Hell, Lord of Apocalypse, Dynasty Warriors Next, Dark Quest, and rounding it off, Michael Jackson, The Experience. So, obviously, there's a few titles in there that aren't going to make it here. Like, I very much doubt we will see Dream Sea Club Zero Portable. Because that's a dating simulation, apparently. Quite big in Japan, the old dating sims. Mike, are you planning on buying one? And do any of those titles shout out at you as being must-haves?
I'm probably going to get one at some point. I do love what I've seen of the system and what it's going to include. I do agree that I'll probably be getting the Wi-Fi as well because I don't see the point really in using the 3G, and the 3G network's not everywhere anyway. It's not even that reliable where I am, etc.
That's another point, yeah.
But then going on to your second point, you give out that big list of games and I yawned. It was just a bit like,
To be
no.
fair, there's a lot of Japanese-centric titles in there, but then I don't. There aren't that many. I know we've been shown like Resistance running on it and stuff, but I don't think those are launch titles. So I think we'll probably get a lot of these titles, minus the obscure ones that don't mean anything to us. Like I cannot see us getting the dating sim. There's also another one, Yushu no Ko Riku, is a life management game. I can't see us getting that. So, yeah, the only other thing you need to factor in, Mike, I know we both said you're going to save yourself £50 by not buying the Wi-Fi model, but they have come out and said that not every game will allow you to save to the cartridge for whatever
Fuckers.
reason.
Fuckers.
I know. I don't know if it's because the games won't fit, but then I wouldn't have thought that's the case because, like, solid flash memory technology is up there. Like, you can have huge solid state drives. Like, your iPod's got a massive, like, whatever, 16 gig in it, and that works fine. So, I doubt these games are that big. So, there's a confirmed list of titles that need a memory card. They're Uncharted, Disgaea 3, Atfield, Hot Shots Golf, Monster Radar, and then that dating simulation game again. So, would seem like a simple thing, just bung an SD card in like you can with a 3DS, except for no. Along with Sony bringing out their own proprietary cartridges for the games, the memory cards are also a brand new standard that nothing else uses. Fuckers, is all I can say. They come out with the prices. If you want a 32 gig card, it's going to set you back £78.
That's fucking stupid.
Which is fucking steep. Let's be honest with you. And I don't think there's any other reason that Uncharted needs a memory card other than the fact that they know everyone is going to go out and buy Uncharted for it, and people are going to have to pick up a memory card if they want to save their progress.
I'd love to know the reason behind that, but even so, even if there's generally not enough memory on the game cartridge, whatever you want to call it. What was wrong with just using SD? SD can store vast amount of data. You can get some
They're a
really large
standard.
ones. Yeah, they're a standard, like you just said there. Multiple things, laptops have ports, bloody cameras, like you said, the 3DS.
The Wii even has one.
And you even have SD card adapters where if SD card doesn't fit, you can make it fit with something else. Blah 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 blah. So for them to do that's just screams of money making to me.
I would like to think some clever bod out there will make an adapter. I don't, it won't fit for SD, but they could make one for micro SD, which are a lot cheaper. Someone makes an adapter and you can bung one of them in. I'd be pretty happy with that solution, I guess, only because I have a big micro SD card in my BlackBerry that doesn't really do a lot, so I could swap that out and that would solve the solution for me. It's an issue that's not going to go away. I think a lot's been made of the price point because obviously it's launching at the same price that the 3DS started at. Sony perhaps not making as much money on that as they want, and this is a way to claw back a bit of money. So in that respect, could you perhaps have a little bit of sympathy with them or not? Do you think
Nah.
they have? Do you think they have to accept that they're going to make a loss on the hardware and rely on software to make it back, rather than these dodgy, nefarious, underhand tactics?
Well, almost every hardware thing nowadays, anyway, is sold at a loss. I mean, from a gaming point of view, isn't it? I
It's
mean,
only
I know the.
really, it's only really Nintendo, yeah, like you're about to say.
Yeah, because Nintendo have always been quite well known for selling stuff at a profit, but Microsoft and Sony, for the PS3 and Xbox, as far as I'm aware, for years, they've sold it as a loss and they still reduce the price, obviously, to meet the market. And the trouble they've got, the arguments with the 3DS coming out at the high price that it did was everyone was saying that is a high price for handheld. And of course, a lot of people whinged and kicked off, and obviously, a lot of people didn't buy it because then Nintendo suddenly thought, oh shit, and reduced their price. Now, Sony Now, I will say their handheld does offer a lot more in terms of functionality than what the 3DS does, because obviously it's almost, it looks basically like a PS3 in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, slightly better, because the fact that it can do party chat and stuff, which obviously we know there's the RAM issue with the PS3, which apparently why it can't.
Breathe, Mike, breathe.
Doesn't have enough breathing when I'm ill as well, doesn't it? But yeah, it just baffles me, because there's that. It's got all that functionality, which obviously would increase the price,
mm-hmm.
but a company does still have to remember that it's... You know, people need to spend the money, and it could be an amazing bit of kit, but it's gonna turn some people off.
Yeah,
because the price is simply too high.
Yeah, I mean, I know I always bang on about this, but you compare it to say the iPod,
mm-hmm.
and you can buy an iPod for like under £200, and there are fucking thousands of games you can buy for less than a pound. And they've already come out and said that the games are more priced in line with console games than they are with handheld games. So you're looking at £40 recommended retail price for a game, or £50. So it's going to be a pricey thing, and you're expecting people to pick it up. And I don't think it's going to sell in a phenomenal amount, to be honest. Not here, anyway. I think they're going to be... I think this kind of luxury handheld, and us as an industry need to, like... lower our expectations of what would be a good number sold for what is a luxury item. And I don't think it's not going to get the penetration that the DS and the original Game Boy had before that, because there's other options out there, and that casual market's being placated in other ways.
Yeah, and it's also the implications kind of mentally in your brain when you think of purchasing something, because when you see something, you expect to pay so much money, and you've got it. Whereas by having it as a separate thing, it's quite sneaky. It was like my argument was always with the Xbox 360 before the Slim came out. Was like, yeah, you can buy a console for, let's say, £200 at the time. I know it's cheaper now. Yeah, great, yeah, get it for £200. Obviously, you know, you can get Xbox Live, and obviously if you want the gold membership, you need to pay extra. So there's one little one there, paying for gold membership. But the big one was... oh yeah, you could do all that, or you could just be a silver member for free, but you'd have to wire it, and I know most people can't wire it, so you have to buy an adapter for another, what was it, £60 or something,
mm-hmm.
the Xbox wireless adapter.
Yeah, something like that.
And obviously I got one at the time when I first got my Xbox years ago, but that always bugged me, how it's mm-hmm. not just the base price, there was little things added on which made it more sneaky.
The lack of wireless was actually something I took into consideration when I was buying when I was deciding which console to have, because I just had a Wii and I thought, this isn't enough for me.
Yeah.
I need more. What am I going to get? And it did actually factor in on it, because when you added all those extra things on, it started to make it that bit more expensive.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And I mean, I love the 360, but it doesn't take away the fact that it was quite sneaky and it made you think of stuff. And imagine not, if you didn't look into it enough, you would have got home and it's like, what the fuck? The Wii's got wireless. I mean, I know the 360 came out a year before the Wii-ish. But still, that's not the point when you think about how wireless was pretty much standard with laptops and everything by then.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It could be the same for the PSP. People could buy the Vita, not realise that, oh yeah, but I buy Uncharted. It's like, I need a fucking memory card. What?
I don't
70
think...
quid? What the fuck? You know what I mean?
I don't think mums and dads going out and buying it for their kids are going to notice things like that in the slightest. And
no, I mean, if they go into the likes of Game, the shop owners probably will, the shopkeeper, sorry, and people around the till will probably say, you'll need a memory card, do you want to buy this for their sales? But for people going into maybe supermarkets who are not mm-hmm. as up on it, or ordering online, yeah, I agree, they're not going to think of it.
I even think it might even be confusing for some regular gamers. Like, if you just, like, oh, get your pre-order in, just do it and leave it and don't think anything of it, and then switch off. Like, you get a lot of people that don't bother reading articles to keep themselves out of the loop and not get any spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst doing that, keeping that practice and not spoiling, they may accidentally miss all the stuff about the memory card and be completely oblivious. Gets all posted launch day. oh, fucking brilliant, can't save it.
Yeah.
Then what do? Go out to the shop, but then these things are always limited. They might not have any memory cards. It could be a nightmare situation waiting to happen.
It is, and it is quite annoying. And it's like, I mean, that was all about the price. I mean, I probably won't get the Vita straight away just because of the software. But as you said, then what was it, £230 for the Wi-Fi one?
Yeah.
So there you are, £230. Now you're telling me I need a memory card for £70.
Well, that's not strictly true. I was a bit of an asshole when I said that. That's for the biggest size. You can buy a 4GB one, which translates roughly to about £18-20. But then it's only four gig, which isn't a lot. Like my PSP one is full, and that's a 4GB card. It's jam packed full, especially now in this digital age where you can download games. 4GB would fill up way too quickly.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's like the whole again Xbox 360, the slim one. The basic one, whatever they called it, was a 4 gig, or you get the 250 gig for more money. It's like, mm-hmm. I feel sorry for anyone who bought the 4 gig one.
Yeah.
Which again, it'd be people looking at the cheaper option, because you'd use a 4 gig like that. You download some DLC, some updates. Yeah. That's it. It's full. You can't even install the game on a hard drive for the 360 with 4 gig.
No.
Unless it's something like Sega Ultimate Collection, because that uses only about 700 meg. So, naughty Sony. Naughty.
But then, you've kept going back to the example of the Xbox 360, so it's not a practice that it's just Sony doing. Everybody's done it, and it seems to have become an accepted part of gaming. I guess it even goes as far back to when the SNES and the NES and the Mega Drive were out. Like, so many multiplayer games, and like they'd come bundled with like Mario Kart and stuff. Yeah, no second controller in the box, things like that. It's a practice that goes some way back. Even like Game Boys, like they didn't come with a link cable, so you couldn't play without going and buying a link cable.
Yeah.
Hey! It's that awesome time of the day, Mike. You have had 30 minutes. Would you like to round up your thoughts in 30 seconds?
No. See ya.
No, never do want to. Maybe this is something that needs cutting out. Well, I've got something I want to say. Unfortunately, it sounds like we're hating Sony today. But
I still love you.
I'm fucked off with Sony for Payday the Heist was due out this week, and the store update came and went, and it wasn't there. It was released in America, but not in Europe. It was one of the first titles that you could pre-order, so I was very keen to play this this shooter that we talked about in the past. So I pre-ordered it. They have my money. The game didn't release. Loads of people pissed off, sending them messages. They've now come out and said it was never confirmed that it was coming out, because it got delayed by a few weeks, and then they re-announced it. They came out and said it never got announced that it was coming out this day. And they've very sneakily gone back and altered pages on the website that now have changed the date to be confirmed.
Sneaky fuckers.
And so they're just trying to lie rather than admitting that something's happened somewhere. And there's rumours now saying it's coming out on November the 2nd, which is basically sending it out to die, because that's the same day that Uncharted comes out. So what the fuck, Sony? Sort it out. Well, Sony Europe, more specifically, because it came out in America.
I think that's a lot longer than 30 seconds.
I know, but I was taking some of your time too. Anyway, we were the 30 Minute Gamers. Goodbye.
Ta-da.
Check out the Blueprint Review podcast at blueprintreview.co.uk.
This could be interesting, yeah, because I know we've got some very diverse people. I'm going to be arguing with Darren a lot.
Like, I think it's going to be me v you lot, with maybe Laura in the middle.
To be honest, I think it's about expectation.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
Yeah, I expected it to be